Welcome to the On the Shelf podcast, sponsored by Pharmacy Times and part of the Pharmacy Focus series. I am your host, Joanna Lewis. I am a pharmacist and creator of the online platform, The Pharmacist Guide. This podcast focuses on anything you can find on the shelf, including skincare, beauty products, supplements, and over-the-counter medications. We also touch on mental, physical, and emotional wellness. Today's topic is going to be all about career wellness, and I am honored to welcome back clinical pharmacist and burnout guru, Dr. Carlene Link. Dr. Link is a clinical pharmacist and integrative life coach. She practiced as an internal medicine clinical specialist for over 5 years before entering the business sector and working for an international drug information company. After the birth of her second child, Carlene went back into clinical practice and now works part-time as a clinical pharmacist while raising her two kids. She is passionate about advancing the profession of pharmacy and is on a mission to help moms in healthcare regain control in life and end feeling overwhelmed, which I feel like we all do at times. Welcome, Carlene. I'm so happy to have you today.
Hi, thank you so much. Thanks for having me back. This is our first conversation was so fun, so thank you.
I know, and I feel like we had so much that I wanted to still talk about, which is one of the reasons I'm having you today. And then, you know, burnout and career wellness is just your wheelhouse. I'm so excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, that's a hot topic right now, isn't it?
I know, I'm feeling it too. Okay, so when I think about wellness, I think about, you know, just in general, developing healthy habits on a daily basis to attain better physical, emotional, and mental health outcomes. And that results in you reaching your goals and not just like looking good, you know, physically good, but really feeling healthy, feeling good, and feeling like you're thriving. But there's a lot to unpack behind those definitions, right? Like there's a lot that goes into developing those healthy habits. And I think that's kind of where the work is, like working through your old patterns that don't serve you. Like, why can I not find my path? Why am I stuck in this mindset and healing from past trauma? So when I pivot that to think about our careers and career wellness, I think, you know, I can develop, or we can all develop healthy habits every day so that we arrive at work feeling good. You know, we can exercise before work, we can meditate, you know, journal out, you know, practice grit, all that kind of stuff. And just, you know, we can develop that resilience muscle, but it's so hard to make work and career fit into the definition of wellness in healthcare, because really a lot of what causes burnout is focusing on what we can't control. And when I just think about the healthcare landscape, just the natural course and ever-evolving change that we go through, it's hard to get to that steady state or equilibrium in your career where everything is just coasting and you're feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think?
I agree. I truthfully think, and especially in healthcare, that it's almost like that work life, it's the work life pendulum, right? I don't know if we talked about that the first time, but that everybody asks me, or not everybody, but people have asked me, many people, oh, how do you achieve such good work life balance? Or, oh, I love how balanced your life seems to be. And that's from the outside looking in. And I straight up, I'm the first one that sort of kind of squashes the balance word, because I truly think that it's more of like a pendulum and it's just swinging back and forth. And like, for example, like you and I were just talking before, my personal life right now is such that the pendulum is oscillating rapidly, just right hovering over like the personal life right now, because I'm really needed, you know, more at home. Like I'm needed to kind of pick up the slack as my husband finishes his MBA, for example, and he's working on a lot of things at work, and that happens sometimes. So it's the same thing with I think with healthcare especially, and that's what we can speak to is, you know, we're going to have it kind of like, it's going to be like this pendulum, but in order to try to keep it more in like a healthier zone where it's not completely, you know, and I've been the other way too. And I'm sure you can relate, Joanna, and you can, you know, jump in here, but where, especially when I was a resident and post-resident, that pendulum was like all career, all day, every day, live, eat, sleep, breathe, pharmacy, you know, and all the projects I was working on and the talks I was giving and the precepting I was doing and oh, we're going to start a PGY1. I had to get that all together. And it, to me, it was too much. And just like you said, that can start teetering into, you know, the world of burnout. So what I've done, I guess, in this phase two, right? I call this phase two, our career phase two, is, you know, now, you know, my family life's a little bit more established, into a different part of my career, is I need to be realistic and say, number one, is this working for me still? And get real about it. And if it's not working for me, I need to figure out, could I ask for maybe different responsibilities? Am I not being challenged enough? Are there other areas that maybe I could help fill in with at work? Or should I, you know, for me, because I am working part-time, can I help pick up an extra, you know, couple of days on the schedule, the next schedule? And if it, you know, if you go back to that initial question and say, is this working for me? And you say no, and kind of like go through exactly what I just went through, then it starts to think, okay, is it not working because it's not kind of copacetic with the work-life situation? Or is it not working because it's a toxic environment and it's time to move on? There's a lot of different ways you could vet that out, but we do need to do those self-checks with our career sometimes. And I don't think we do that often enough. I think it's out of fear. I think people are nervous, like, oh gosh, I'm going to leave this amazing job and what will people think? They're going to be afraid of like being judged by other people or people, you know, thinking they're crazy, quote unquote, for leaving it. What if I get another job and it's nothing like this? And you're always thinking about it from the side of like everything you haven't done or this can't work. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a bit of a mindset shift. Can you relate to that?
Yeah. And so like what you said about the phase two, some wise pharmacist said this to me when I used to work at Duke about, you know, like, because I just had my first child and I was just struggling to keep up. And most of it was, you know, expectations I put on myself. Like I expected myself to be working the same hours I was working before. And I was working well over 8 hours before, or just maybe pushing out things in the same way with presentations and stuff. And she was like, right. Joanna, like everything goes through, yeah, like different stages of life. And this is not your time to give everything to work. You would need to give more. And I think that was just like a mental shift for me. I just thought you had to give everything to every, like 100% work at that moment, or I would be fired. You know, they would say, oh, you can't do this anymore. And 100% to my family, my newborn, obviously, and like 100% in every direction. And I think being okay, like sometimes my good enough at work is good enough for everyone. You know, like I think a lot of these extra expectations, I'm not saying, you know, like you said, like don't just completely like stop doing your job, but
exactly.
I think a lot of it's internal. And yeah. And so what you were saying about work-life balance, I've found that during these different phases, like I'm in the same phase as you right now. Like my work was really busy last year because we went through a lot of changes at work, like new implementations. And it was hard because my children's lives are really getting busy. And what I, you know, something's going to give, right? You can't be everything. And I've been able to actually delegate more at work. And I've been able, you know, like the house might be a little messier. The laundry doesn't get done every day now. You know, there's a couple tasks, or we eat out more. Just, you know, I think if we don't learn to maybe, like you said, divide ourselves and not overextend ourselves, then we're the ones. Burnout is inevitable. Like we will always be sitting in that space.
Right. And it's tough too, because I think like, you know, when you kind of dial it back to where we start with our career, and so many of us are, you know, we're very just driven individuals, that there was a period of our life where you could give, you know, my 125% was maybe unimaginable for other people, but that's what I gave to everything. And that's okay. Like I'm not them, they're not me. Right. But when I had to dial it back, when I started learning that, like, I think somebody had said something to me along the lines of, and it was so wise, your life has changed. Like, how could you not expect your, you know, your time commitments and constraints to change too? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like you said, you're entering a different period of time, and we all make these choices. And at least for you and I, like we chose to, you know, be working moms, and there, it's great. And there's nothing wrong with choosing to be a full-time, you know, stay at home mom, or to not have kids and be career oriented, or maybe have kids at a later time. Like there's all sorts of options. It's just, you know, what we choose. And as you say, like something does have to give. And I know at least, you know, we can't create more time. So depending on where we want to put our, which baskets we want to put our eggs, so to speak, we're going to have to take away to give a little bit more in those areas. So same as you, I have boys, my house looks like a bomb went off in it every single day. And it's all I can do sometimes. I just say, okay, well, this is how it's going to look, because we have to, you know, we have to get X and Y done. I have something else that I need to do. I might be under the deadline, might need to have my CE done for BCPS. You know, there's like a lot of, you just have to sort of look at it and evaluate it. But the good news is, and I hope our listeners can embody this too, is nothing's permanent. I mean, everything, it's situational, different phases of life, different times where, you know, our needs are a little bit stronger, you know, in different areas. But I know at least for me, I will say it's been such a joy getting to, you know, still be in pharmacy, the profession that I love, but raising my kids as well and being the mom that I wanted to be, and, you know, having that choice a few years ago to leave a toxic environment so I could still practice as a pharmacist, but still be a mom. And that's what worked best for us. So there are choices that can be made. They're not always, you know, when you're looking at them from the outside in, especially if it's a new type of situation, it's like, oh God, this is the end of the world. This is not what I wanted. But it's so wonderful to just be surprised at, you know, everything that our brain has yet to imagine. There's so much out there.
No, you're so right. And I feel like to my jobs, I've given a lot, you know, like it's all kind of required a different kind of energy, but I had to take a couple of years off. Just, you know, for a couple of reasons, but I think you were very spot on when you said, you know, a lot of times people don't leave their job or quit because of fear, like they fear like they're not going to get another job. So I want to kind of talk about, and, you know, I've been able to transition to almost a work from home job, which to me, I'm doing what I love, like the actual, like behind the scenes financial piece. And I feel very blessed, but I still feel very stressed a lot of times. And I think thinking about like the pharmacist that goes in every day, like it's the situation where you're covering the floor. Like if you call out, you have to get someone to cover, or you can't call out if your retail or Walgreens shifts because they have no one to cover. Like that's kind of a different environment. And I think about just the mindset when you work in that day in and day out, even if you are practicing the best habits at home, you can't control what you walk in the door to. Like, what would you say to someone who's just walking into like a minefield or a circus every day? Like, how do you wrap your head and just say, this is just a job, not my, because I feel like I used to feel like I had to get so much meaning out of my work, or I had to get, sometimes people get their identity from their work. And I used to put a lot more stake in that. And I've shifted that a lot just to more like, this is my job. It's been like enlightening for me, but I don't think there's a one size fits all, but I want to hear what you think.
I agree. I'm definitely in the same zone as you. I think I started my career, you know, more of, it was like, you know, this crazy clinical specialist role, doing all the things. And I felt like I was practicing at like the pinnacle of my degree at that point. Like I got board certified, you know, things were, it was different. You know what I'm saying? Worked for a really well-known health system that's known across the country. I mean, it was just different. And I think that when I left that particular position and then I started kind of going down, you know, that went to another clinical specialist role. And then I went into the business sector for a few years before I came back into practice, like you had said before. And I think the further along in my career I got, I transitioned out of that mindset of, you know, I am a pharmacist too. Being a pharmacist is part of who I am. And I kind of came to a crossroads, and maybe like not realizing it then, but kind of looking back now, I'm like, okay, I kind of came to that point where I could have kept going and let pharmacy sort of like, you know, be it, you know what I mean? Like be my primary like identifier. But same thing, like as you, you know, it's a job, it brings satisfaction, it's great, but it's just a piece of who I am. And I think like, you know, to your point, like I do walk into, you know, I'm in a role right now where I do go into the hospital and we have call offs, or, you know, something crazy can happen and really derail the day, and it's completely out of your control. Or here's another thing to think about too, guys. Like, if your kid gets sick and you need to stay home, that's completely out of your control. So we just do the best that we could do in that situation and know that we're all human. And, you know, the people, at least the people that I work with, they, most of them have kids. Like, we all understand and that, you know, kids get sick or people get sick, and we step up to cover each other and help if we can't get somebody else to fill in. Or I've been called before where I'm supposed to work, you know, a certain shift, and somebody called off and they were doing some rearranging and they said, hey, can you just come in for evening now? Sometimes that's not always convenient, but of course I'm going to do it if it's, you know, if everything at home is cool and my husband's got it, you know, and usually everything's fine, like he can get them to my kids to where they need to be or whatever. Yeah. Then I'm going to go in, I'm going to help and step up, because there are times where they've stepped up to help me too, of course. So I do think that maybe it's the older that we get, because it's almost like gaining life wisdom, Joanna. We start to see, like, I can still enjoy doing what I do, but it doesn't have to drive my identity. And there's so many other things outside of my career that I enjoy doing too, that I didn't want to lose that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want to lose the ability to, you know, enjoy being a mom, enjoy my children, and, you know, shift my focus a little bit, you know, more to that piece of my life. And then not forgetting to work in the self-care pieces, like reading a book and things like that. So I definitely can relate to that and sort of just being thrown into the fire. But I would just advise, you know, listeners out there that instead of worrying about what's out of our control, you get to control how you respond. And that's way more powerful than what happens. Situations are going to happen. Fires are going to pop up. The opposite of what you were hoping for is going to happen. But the best part is that nobody has control over your response but you. That's really powerful.
No, that's so true. And just letting yourself be okay with, like, your definition of what a successful career looks like is going to change, and it's okay to change. And everyone's successful career should look different. You know, like, at my point right now, a successful career, it looks like flexibility. It doesn't look like, you know, $1 million a year or whatever, you know, traveling a lot. It looks like having the flexibility that works with my family. And, you know, a different time in my career, success looked like, you know, getting really cool projects, you know, yeah, implementing like goals across the hospital, you know, like checking those, how did I make a difference in making our hospital more, you know, compliant and quality oriented. I think you got to let your mindset shift, not get stuck in that box.
Yeah. And again, life is flexible. Life is changing. So it would be really short-sighted to think that our situations and needs and kind of definitions, like you said, of what a career is or where we're needed in our family lives, of course, that's going to be flexing right along with it. And I think it's really important too that, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but there was a time where I thought, you know, it was more of an ego drive for me when I left my full-time, you know, position in corporate America, because I felt like that was my only option at the time. And I knew part-time was going to be better for me, but I thought, I'm failing my family. How do all these other people do this? And I can't, why is this not working? You know, all the things, instead of looking at it from the other side and saying, this is a really awesome opportunity for you to enjoy these next few years, stay back in the profession, of course. And then you're getting back into clinical practice at a great time, because I'd only been out for a couple of years, right? Like, it was like 5 years, and get to relearn and work for like a really high, you know, a high, high level one trauma center, essentially, like get high acuity is what I was looking to say. And getting back into direct patient care and camaraderie of being in a pharmacy with so many people. And it was from a different role. I was, you know, not a specialist this time around, but we get to do so much clinical work and I love it. And it's just really starting to try to tap into like that inner, the way that we speak to ourselves. Cause if we're going to tell ourselves we're failures, then that's the frequency we're going to stay on, instead of taking a step back and being like, whoa, this is so much better than I could have imagined. There's so much here. Like, it's fantastic. And I think that it takes practice to do that. That's like a mindset practice and just mindfulness. And it's not something that happens overnight. So I know that at least for me, it took some time to shift my definition of being like, okay, well, you're not doing X, Y, and Z anymore, so you're clearly not a good pharmacist, to being like, no, wait a minute. My life has changed. So I expect things in my life, everything in my life to change. It's not just going to be like my personal life, but my professional life's going to change. Even, relationships with like your friends and whatnot, they're always there, but they're kind of they're in the thick of it with you, So of course it's not like you could just pick up and go out to dinner as easily as you could before. It takes some practice and planning, but that's just part of life. And it's actually a beautiful thing. It really opens us up to so many possibilities. I keep going back to that because it's the truth.
No, I love that. Well, what about 2023? Do you have any, like career goals or life goals that you're working on?
I love that. So I 2023 is going to be very the second half of 2023 is going to be a little bit different for me because it's going to be the first year that I'm going to have my kids all in school at in full-time school at the same time. So I kind of can't even like wrap my brain around that. It's not going to be for a few months, but and then even like with my husband finishing his MBA. So just kind of like from the life perspective, I just, when you're kind of in something for so long and you get used to it being your day to day, I'm excited at what that's going to bring for all of us in terms of, personal professional growth and just more time together as a family. But in terms of my career, it's funny that I actually am again loving what I'm doing, but a couple of things that I like to do outside of just like working in the hospital is I'm really into medical writing. So I'm exploring some possibilities in terms of like medical blogging, not just like CE, but like even op-eds and whatnot. So I've done a little bit of that over the past couple of years and it's very fulfilling to me. And I would really encourage you guys out there that if something, you have a spark to kind of look into something, or it's something that you've been interested in, or maybe you've done before, but it sort of got tempered for whatever the reason, it's never too late to pursue that. So that's a little area of interest. And I really, our hospital is expanding with so like there's going to be a lot of opportunities. So I'm excited to sort of see what that could look like for me once my schedule changes. And that's sort of like in development right now. So I'm keeping my mind open, to the possibilities and the opportunities and really just looking at, okay, what could the next part of phase two look like for me? Because, I don't want to say it's not, I don't want to say the word boring. It's not that because I don't feel like healthcare, I feel like every day in healthcare is different, but I think it's really interesting to note that with a career like pharmacy, like how you said you're working in the financial piece. Like there's so many people that probably didn't know that that was possible as a pharmacist. Like that's incredible. So I was looking at the medical writing piece and even some consulting work because I am MTM trained, medication therapy management trained, and I like talking to patients. I enjoy going through chart reviews and there's just a lot there. So again, just kind of keeping my mind open, to what could be. As of right now.
Okay, I'm pivoting like a little bit, but we did touch
Oh, it's okay.
on this earlier. So I know in my at when I, at my previous institution, we hammered like the pharmacy department and just the organization hammered a lot. Let's drive, like let's connect our mission to everybody. So basically, like from environmental services to the food, like everyone needs to know how they're contributing to the mission, and that is them connecting with their why, and that gives them meaningful work. And they really talked about finding meaning in your work because that's what keeps you going when the going gets tough, keeps you resilient, et cetera. So they basically, like, the person who is taking out the garbage in the patient's room is making the environment, more welcome to healing and helping the patient that way. The person who is making or delivering their lunch is, giving them nourishment to get better and heal, and just really connecting each piece. And I find that's where I'm struggling right now is like, I do like have meaning in my work for sure, but there is a lot of monotony that comes in. And when you're getting hit by so many obstacles and barriers and difficult people all day long, it's really hard to connect to that and just be like, and then go the other route. You're burnt out, you're emotionally exhausted, like you can't take another
Right.
day. So I've always put importance on that, like they always say, understand your why. Like, why are you here? I think, is it Simon Sinek has that great book about following your why or finding your why.
Yes.
But I think I'm in that stage where I understand why I'm doing it, and why I'm doing it is very different now. But what if you don't have meaning in your career? Like, can it just be a job? I know we did talk about that a little bit, but.
I do think that many of us will go through a point in our careers where a job feels like it's just a job. Maybe it's a bit monotonous. Maybe we've lost sight. Maybe we're bored. Maybe it's a toxic environment that's just been building. So it's a bit challenging, to enjoy that piece anymore. Maybe it's the personal part of the pendulum that's no longer vibing with the work life part of the pendulum, and there could be a myriad of reasons. It could be, sickness. It could be, changes in relationships. It could be having to care for a loved one. You know what I mean? It could just be the heart's not in it anymore, and you've decided that I would rather be home more with my family, but my job doesn't allow for that. So what's next? And I think if you get to that point, and like I said, many of us have, and maybe I'll use myself as an example. I got to that point when I was in corporate America, at the last job, meaning in the business sector. And I really, it was a really neat career opportunity. It was something that when I came out of school residency and was in clinical practice, I would have laughed if anybody would have told me, like, oh, this is where you're going to be at, for this chunk of time. And thought just, okay, you're crazy. Like, I have no interest in that whatsoever. But I thought that taking a chance on that would be great. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. I learned a lot of how, the drug information is curated and just how important and impactful it is to get it out to, practitioners and patients everywhere. It's great. But it got to a point where for me, and I go back, this is why my work is, so meaningful to me outside of pharmacy, is I was so overwhelmed in that phase of life, like being a mom of, two young kids, working full-time plus with a husband who has a full-time plus career. He's also a pharmacist. I think we talked about that. And he was a clinician to start, and now he's, in a completely different sector of pharmacy. And it got to a point where I was like just showing up every day, but I was dreading it. Like, and I had to really evaluate, like, okay, the pros and cons. Like, yes, it's a great providing job. Yes, I have a stable job, but it's really taking away from another piece of my heart that's extremely meaningful. And I just, the overwhelm just wouldn't, it, I couldn't work through it. It was tough. And so when I finally got to a point where I pushed, it was more ego at that point for me. Again, that's everybody's experience is different. But when I could push the ego aside and really evaluate what was most important and what I defined as success, and am I a failure because the way my career is going looks completely different than how it was so quote unquote supposed to go. Like, I don't know who supposed to, who's supposed to have that all mapped out, right? But we have that. This isn't supposed to happen. I'm supposed to do this. I had to let all that go and really step into a place of, what do I want? What could still make me happy? What does feeling fulfilled mean? What does success look like? And am I going to be, can I be happier in a different position? Because again, you're not going to be happy doing something all the time, every single day, right? And that's kind of how I had to really look at it and finally say, well, I could stay in the familiar and make all this money, but be completely sad and depressed and uncomfortable, in terms of like what's happening. Or, and I have that predictable outcome. Like, I knew that that was going to happen. I knew I was going to have those results. It just was not a fostering, supportive environment for, me as a working mom. Or I could step out of my comfort zone and take a big chance and have a better life, in both career and home in this phase, doing something that I never thought I would be doing, working a lot less, and sort of exploring like what's next. And for me, that I had to get comfortable with being really uncomfortable because I didn't know how I was going to feel. I didn't know where it was going to go. And I decided to take a chance on myself because it got to the point where sitting in that, I don't want to say misery, but I was very, very just blah every single day. And it got to the point where I thought 9 months of this is, that served me enough. It's been long enough. So I do think if you get to a point where you're feeling that way too, it's going to just take some self-evaluation to figure out. You got to ask, like, I feel this way because, and then when you answer it, and this would mean, and then you would answer that, and this would mean, and you kind of like peel it back like an onion to really dig deep and to figure out, like, you know, why am I feeling this way? And what do I want to do about it next? And there's no right or wrong, because there's, you know, choices with everything, but you have to, you know, sit down and dig a little bit deeper. And that's kind of what I did. And then once I transitioned into this current role, is it a specialist role? Is it rounding and doing the things that I was trained to do and love? No, but I still find a lot of fulfillment going to work, helping out my colleagues, working alongside physicians, doing the clinical work, being in a busy environment, constantly learning again, which is great, supporting the department as best I can, jumping in wherever I can, but also getting to come home and take care of my family. And both sides of the coin was important, but I had to figure out a way, you know, to figure out what worked best for not only me, but our family. I don't know if you can relate.
No. Yeah, I don't, like, I think hours, and like the older I get, the hours, like the flexibility means more and the money means less. But I think that's a big, and we talked about, you know, people being afraid to move out of their job because of fear or something else. And you hit on it when you said being uncomfortable. I think a lot of us think if you know, moves can't be horizontal. Each move needs to be moving up and I should be getting paid more. But I've seen this a lot on like the pharmacy moms and a lot of, you know, some of my friends are so afraid to take a step because they might get a pay cut. But you have to think about what are you, like, not just what you're giving up. You have to think about what are you gaining. And I find even when I first moved from retail to hospital, my base salary was not like, in hindsight, not even that much. But I was like, oh no, I'm not going to be making more than I was. But with differential, I think my annual salary was only like $5,000 difference from retail to this hospital job. And my satisfaction and happiness and work-life balance was off the charts. I wasn't right. Like mad or stressed every day. So I think everyone is different and everyone has different resources and they need to work through that money piece. But I find like that's some of people's biggest hurdles when they're.
Well, you're right. You're 100%. Oh, no, you're 100% right on that. I think we can all, you know, again, especially in the period of, you know, we're in a, you know, a crazy period of inflation right now, even, right? I think too, I think that it's one of those things where, you know, you can't really put a price on happiness. And we're so, when we're in that situation, we start to, again, going back to all the things of, what if this happens? What if I can't afford this? How are we going to be able to pay for school? How is this going to happen? There's a couple of things that I've learned. Like when I trained to be a mind body coach, there's a couple of things that I started really leaning into. And it was, number one, we don't always have to know the how. It's okay not to have all the answers. And that's really scary. That's really scary, I think, for many of us in healthcare, because we're trained completely differently, you know, when we're in school, our mindset's not like that. But I think it's, you know, to get really curious and open to, like, you know, saying, I don't have to have all the answers. That's kind of like what I did when I left. I was like, well, this is clearly like nowhere on my, you know, was nowhere on my career radar of changing jobs like this. And like you said, it was definitely not, it wasn't like the next vertical move up by any means, but to me, it was priceless to get that time with my kids, to get back into clinical practice, to, you know, really strengthen my skills again and go back into like the type of pharmacy I enjoyed practicing and just figure out, okay, well, this is where we're going to start. I really like it here. And we're going to see kind of like what happens. It's not always, I think if we're not, you know, a lot of us aren't like in the mindset of doing that, you know, but the more that you kind of put yourself into that type of mindset, it gets easier each time. Cause it's almost like, oh, I have proof that this was a really good decision. You know, looking back 4 years ago when I left, almost 5 years ago, this was a great decision for us. You know, like I have the proof now that it's okay to not have all these answers. And I do think that we do compare ourselves a lot to other people too, in their situations. And, you know, a lot of people might have more help. Like I certainly, you know, I'm kind of like the one woman job over here, and that's totally fine, you know, taking care of the family. But I do think that some people outsource, or if you can outsource, that definitely takes a big burden off, you know, having somebody come and clean the house. Or, you know, if you have I do have a part-time nanny that helps, you know, shuffle a child to and from school, like when I'm at work, but that definitely there are ways, you know, to help alleviate certain, you know, certain tasks and just to support. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, you're right. And I want to hit one more time, like on the, you know, the career changes or when you need to step back from your role or your role is so toxic, you know, or you can't take retail anymore or something.
Right.
There's like the money piece. Like people always worry about that and they need to work, you know, you have to work through like, what can you give? What can you get? But I think another thing is people put so much weight on these decisions. And I've for sure been like this, that we think like, what if I leave this job and I can never get it back? Or what if I can't find a job or whatever? And I think we put so much weight on these decisions. Like, I don't know how many people when I worked retail and when I worked at the hospital had like left for 2 years and come back. Like, I'm not saying everyone's job will still be waiting for them, but I think if your heart at the time feels right and you try something new, it doesn't mean like you're stuck in that hole for the rest of your life. You can always keep pivoting.
Yes. And nothing, I mean, again, nothing to me feels permanent, like especially in healthcare. Number one, there's always a need. Number two, like you said, it might not be the exact same role, but what if it's even better for you in your life at that time and you never could have thought of it that way? You know what I mean? Another thing to think about too is there are certainly some people, and we've seen this in, I think, the pharmacist moms group, and just from conversations I've had, you know, where people are, especially female pharmacists, like it's, you know, they're kind of, they feel stuck, meaning I really can't leave this job because our livelihood sort of depends on it, which I totally respect. And everybody's situation is different. But what I would maybe consider thinking about is you might not be able to leave today, right? You might be in this job today, but what steps can you be taking towards, you know, that next phase in your career? Like in terms of, okay, what are you interested in? What could that look like? Could you maybe do some consulting work on the side? Could you maybe, you know, ask for some more responsibility at work, which might hinder you at home a little bit? Sure, it might take away there, you know, depending on the project or whatever, but to give you the experience to get you towards that next step. Or, you know, if you're not happy at a specific company or system and whatnot, what steps could you be taking to find a better fit for you? And that might mean a pay cut. And what does that look like? Like what, you know, what could that mean for your family? Is it temporary? Like that kind of thing. I mean, again, everybody's situation is just different, but because you're in a spot now doesn't mean that you have to stay in that spot for forever. That's a choice. And I want people to know that, empower them, that they have the ability to make choices and to move on to, you know, something that might fit their life better. And again, it might not be right away, but there could be steps that we could be taking towards that move, if that makes sense, like now.
No, absolutely. I think, yeah, as I try to think through this conversation, like what are some mindset techniques that we can give people to take away, you know, like if they're feeling stuck in their workplace. And you know what's funny to me, like you always have those individuals at work who are like unbothered by everything. Like they just take it with the flow. And then there's these other ones, I've worked with both, who just the minute they walk in the door, it's like this negative cloud, like everything's wrong. They complain about everything. And it's, but there's so many in between. I just, sometimes I wish I just, without being like to the burnout point where you just could care less about everything, like I just wish I could be in that resilience phase where I'm like, oh, you know, that happened, we can work through it, instead of like that stopping me.
Yeah, I hear you. I can like see myself going into that mode sometimes too, you know, and you're kind of feel like the world's crashing and you're just like, okay, what next? You know what I mean? Like, what do we do here with this?
Yeah. Like if I slept well, I mean, it does go through, like if I'm having like a good social life, I'm sleeping well, I feel connected, you know, a lot goes into, I think, at least for me in healthcare, like especially earlier in my career. Yeah, like a lot of the internal stress I felt was, you know, when you're answering calls from doctors or you're answering calls from, or working through, or you're leaving something for the next shift, like always worrying about like, what are they going to think about me? Am I giving them the right, you know, like, could I have handled this differently or answered this differently? And just putting all that pressure on myself really contributed to a lot of stress. Not to say like you need to be triple checking and doing your research and your whatever, you know, like running it by people, but I think there's an element of trust too, right? Like trust in yourself. And
yes. And just, and I do think that if we're not taking care, and again, we're in a phase two now, we're a phase of our lives with, you know, the family and the work. And there's been points, I'm sure, in your life too, where this might hit home a little bit, that maybe you weren't taking care of yourself as much as you should. And you could see that, like, the results kind of coming out in, you know, your day-to-day life and all aspects of life, like not just, you know, in the home, but at work, you know, kind of like just any type of relationship. Do you know what I'm saying? So I do think that prioritizing, you know, ways to sort of shift your mindset, like tricks to have, you know, when you get into these, not you, but when we get into these mindsets, is super important. And then just making sure that we do take care of ourselves. And the older I've gotten, like, sleep is so paramount. And it's really important, like, to make sure that I can show up to be, you know, I need to be rested, and I need to be nourishing my body, you know, with good foods to make sure that I can show up and kind of like tackle everything. I feel more almost like a, you know, like a superhero, you know, like I can do things more efficiently and focus. And I wish I were a superhero sometimes, but, you know, like you just feel you can kind of focus better. I feel like I'm more clear as to what I need to be doing and where I need to be and the tasks at hand, instead of feeling extremely sluggish, which can lead to more overwhelm and then burnout, you know, which can also show up as procrastination, right? Like, how many times have you had a project where it's so exciting, but at the same time, you're so nervous about it because you don't know how to start it. And then you just sort of don't start it.
And then last question, I know we're like in the midst of cough and cold season. I feel like we've had a congestion in our house for like 4 weeks. And like here, I know we're not as cold as you, thankfully, but the weather has been changing a lot, like hot, cold. It's just been, I think, not the easiest on our bodies. What are you doing to keep healthy and keep your family healthy?
So really, couple of my favorite products, I like to take vitamin C, liposomal vitamin C. I usually take 2 capsules a day. My new bottle just came in, so I have to get back into the habit of taking it daily. But I do notice that even my skin, like I treat my skin with topical vitamin C as well. And I think it makes such a huge difference. But vitamin C and trying to get outside in the sun a little bit, even if it's very cold here today, it's like 20 degrees, but the sun is shining and it makes a huge difference. And especially for us in the Midwest, when you don't have as much sunshine, you know, and we're starting to gain sunlight again, which is fantastic. That just really, I think, kind of keeps us in a better mind frame. And the sleep, I know we talked about sleep and just how important it is. And it's so funny because I have been really working hard to sleep 7 to 8 hours most nights of the week. Otherwise I won't accept anything less than like 6, 6.5 hours. And I actually wake up tired sometimes because I think my tank is so depleted from so many, you know, from so long of like this inconsistent sleep. So I would say, you guys, if you really are looking to build up your immune system, I mean, sleep is paramount. Vitamin C is great. And then focused on eating the rainbow right now. My one son would eat every fruit and vegetable presented to him. The other one, you would think I was torturing him. So, you know, we're really trying to work through that over here.
That's so true. But like, don't you notice if you have a couple nights of bad sleep, maybe you have like a really junk filled like food, or you have like, you know, maybe a couple glasses of wine one day, it's like it tanks your immune system. And then that's when I get sick. Or like I'll work out really hard all at once and do all of that.
Yes.
Then my body will be so exhausted. That's when I get sick. So
yes.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
One more question, follow-up question. What is your vitamin C skincare product that you use?
So I am very into the SkinCeuticals CE with ferulic acid. It's my favorite skincare product.
That's the whole
favorite. Yeah.
Love it.
I can't be without that product. And that product, you know, looking at a range of products that I've tried, and there are some great, you know, lower priced products that work well, and then maybe some intermediate products. But as you said, that is the holy grail. And there are pretty much every dermatologist I've talked to, if they're like, you're looking for, you know, kind of like the Cadillacs of that type of product, that's one of the best out there. So that is something that I do. I splurge for myself because I've seen great benefits from it. And it lasts. I think it lasts for quite a long time. It lasts me like 6 months. I mean, I'm very judicious with what I use because, you know, you want it to make it last, but it's just a great product. So if somebody is looking, if you're looking for a new one to try, give it a try. Let us know if you like it. I mean, it's done wonders for my skin. I noticed within a couple of weeks, just my skin looked so much brighter when I started that product.
That's such a good point, because I think last time I checked, that was like $160. But if you are using some sort of serum that you think is cheaper, but if it lasts 6 months, if you're using like a $30 product, but you have to replenish every 1 to 2 months, you pretty much are the same. So I have never used that SkinCeuticals product, but I've always like heard it's amazing. So I might take the plunge, but I've gotten such good results with like Drunk Elephant vitamin C.
That's a great brand too.
It's a good, and Imogene and Company, you know, Allison's vitamin C is amazing.
Yes. So I feel her products are incredible.
I'm going to have to talk about this on social media. I just found this new brand, blanking on the name, but they have the best serum and it has vitamin C in it too. And it's 60 or 80, it's like half of the price and it's really good. So, but I think I've found so many at this point, and I've Sunday Riley's in my cabinet. I like theirs. So I have some good ones, I think, that have given me good results. I've never done that. I've never bought it. So.
Yeah. Allison's line is incredible. I use her, scar cream right now religiously. Her products are, they're just amazing. She's got a great line.
I know, we need to talk to her, get her on here soon, because I think she's coming out with new things. Okay, well, I will wrap this up because I could talk forever about it. I could keep this going. Let's connect again soon. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here today talking about career wellness. We are going to have to follow this up with a blog post. And can you please tell everyone where they can find you?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having me back. I always enjoy your conversations. And if you guys want to connect with me, I am over on Instagram mostly, meaning most active, at Dr. Carlene Link, all one word. And you can find me talking really about just helping moms overcome overwhelm and it just to help you live a more fulfilled life. And, you know, feel free to connect on DM. I have an email list. I have all sorts of things I'm planning. So would love to hear from you. Don't be shy. I do reply. That rhymes. I didn't mean for that to happen, but I do. So you can find me over there. And I really look forward to talking to some of you guys.
Thank you for listening to On the Shelf. Join us next month as we continue to talk to thought leaders and change makers in the world of wellness.